Dan Carlin is the expat. Fernando Farias is the local. BA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
Episode 16, February 3rd, 2011.
Thank you, James. We are initiating with this show a series on some topics pertaining, I love that word, pertaining to business in Argentina.
Come in here, Martin Franco, one of the owners of Sugar Bar and Arias Workplace, have his say about that. And the expat chat will bring some commentaries about one of the most prestigious institutions of the country, especially among foreigners, La Administración Federal de Ingresos Públicos, or the AFIP.
Also, the Spanglish playground section with the second part of the use of balls in language.
What kind of balls, sir?
Yeah, well, wait and see.
Spicy meatball?
No, the other type. And a quote from a blog post on a ballsy Buenos Aires or on ballsy Buenos Aires. But in this case, it has nothing to do with language.
Eternauta's audio guides with a highlight in the Retiro neighborhood.
And the top five horse activities to do in Argentina with South African David Sauerman.
And later on today's show, Madonna makes a special guest appearance with her song Gol.
And if you want to get in touch with us, you have several ways: Facebook, Twitter, contact at bacast.com, etc.
etc.
The expats of Buenos Aires have their say. This is the Expat Chat.
I'm Morgan from New York. I'm not going to use my last name just because it makes it more exciting and more sexy. The AFIP. It's the Argentine version of the IRS, the root of all evil in this universe. I've spent years of my life telling the AFIP, AFIP, I want to give you money. AFIP, I want to pay you taxes. AFIP, I want an SRL corporation so I can pay you payroll taxes, so I can pay you corporate taxes. I want to give you money so I can have a legal company and Argentina can have more money. Will you please take my money, AFIP? And mind-bogglingly, the AFIP goes to inhuman lengths to deny me giving them money. Point on this form where it asks for this socio's, like, partner's address. You put in his address. I'm like, yeah, that's real. So we filled out exactly as the form said. But, you know, in order that for an address to be on the form, I need to verify that this is actually his address. So we need to send the police to that address at random hours at some random time to see if he's actually there. So you need to do this other form that's not mentioned anywhere, that there isn't a form for this. Well, we didn't tell you this before, but it's not written down. But of course, how can you not know that you need to go to the police in order to put the address for this socio's address? It's insane, and I'm evading taxes, but I don't want to.
BA Cast.
Ahora, chamuchamos.
Utilities are subsidized. Transportation
utilities,
is subsidized.
Utilities here are unbelievably cheap. Like, they're so cheap, you wonder how it's even possible to supply gas and electricity to the city. I mean, I remember when I would look at my...
But it's very different for a business.
Oh, yeah?
If you're a business that is consuming a good amount, so there are very, very heavy penalties when you exceed a certain amount of use.
Yeah.
There isn't a tiered rational system. There's like a cutoff, and you exceed that, we're going
right.
to hit you over the head with a big brick and use that extra money to subsidize
everybody else. Right.
We can announce officially to be expats or people who are about to come to Argentina because they think it's cheap, no more.
The steak dinner is a great example because the steak dinner is less expensive here than it is in the States, certainly. But
it's not the sushi dinner, not the Mexican food
right, it's
dinner.
Like if you want to forget sushi and Mexican food and Thai food and every other sort of you know ethnic food that's out there and you want to just eat steak, yeah, you're coming to the right place.
You come to the right place.
Absolutely.
And it's also quickly increasing. I mean, a lot of people are reading guidebooks that were published a year ago with information that was researched 2 years ago. So that idea of a $10 steak dinner, not anymore.
No longer applies.
Now it's maybe a $20
steak. So if you take away steak dinner and you look at everything else you could possibly eat, sushi, Mexican, whatever, Chinese, Thai food, are you fucking kidding me? You go to Sur Estada,
and you pay 70 pesos for curry?
Yeah, it's insane.
$15, $16, $17 for curry that costs $8 in the U.S. You know, with rice, and they charge you for the rice apart? That makes no sense.
But you guys who love ethnic food and variety and that sort of stuff, you're a victim. You're victims of a lack of market, of a very small market.
And we're luckier today than we would have been 2 and 3 years ago.
Sure.
Because 2 and 3 years ago, it was green bamboo or nada.
The free market and competition concepts really apply in parrillas. Because among Argentines, if a parrilla is overcharging and they are not offering you good buena carne, they die.
There's too much competition.
They die. Yeah. They die. You just go to the place next corner and where the food, where the meat is better.
Well, it's clear that expats aren't staying in Argentina now because it's cheap. You've got to stay for other reasons.
Absolutely.
And there are plenty of them. Lifestyle, I think, is the preeminent one from my point of view. I mean,
laid back.
The fact that still people work to live, and in the U.S. in general, you live to work.
But doesn't the inefficiency comes with that, with the
you take
lifestyle.
The good with the bad. Everything takes longer than it might take in the States, but weekends are sacred. You know, you can't ask somebody to work on weekends as a regular thing. People definitely take their time to smell the roses a lot more here than I think they do in the States. But it's difficult to balance that as a small business person.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that's an advantage for living. But we want to know the advantages when it comes to starting a business in Buenos Aires. We'll complete this chamuyo with Martin Frankel of Área 3 in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
This podcast is brought to you by Anuva Wines. ANUVAWines.com.
Top 5 horse activities in Buenos Aires.
Horse racing.
Where?
Palermo.
Number 4.
Right. Polo.
Polo. Where? Also Las Canitas. No. Somewhere
only
else.
Only once a year it's there. It's in Pilar is the action. The
okay.
Action.
Pilar is where to go.
Pilar.
Pilar is all the action and all the polo farms.
Okay.
You can visit them whenever. Right.
Number 3.
Number 3. Cabalgates.
Cabalgates. Yeah, I don't know
riding.
What that is.
Horse rides.
Horse rides. Where? Where's the best place?
Play horse riding. Don Torquato.
Don Torquato.
Don Torquato.
In Provincia. Okay. That's way out there.
Not 20 minutes.
No, it's 20 minutes along the Panamericana, yeah.
You can get a charter in 20 minutes for 20 pesos.
Number 2.
Estancia.
Estancia, which one?
I would say Los Dos Hermanos.
Los Dos Hermanos.
In Zárate.
Okay.
Okay.
They have the best riding where you can actually be a cowboy for 4 hours. A very good one in Las Heras called Santa Maria.
Santa Maria.
Very, very simple, but very, very, very high quality horses.
Mm-hmm.
And another one in the Las Heras area called Eloisa, La Eloisa.
La Eloisa. Excellent. And the number one horse thing to do in Buenos Aires?
The Abierto Final Polo in December.
Ah.
Well, it's a world class event.
In Palermo.
As Argentina is the number one country in the world, and as the number one, the top 4 players in the world are all Argentines.
Mm.
And this year they will have for the first time in San Luis the World Cup of Polo. But Argentina will win miles, hands down.
Sure, of course.
And that was David Sauerman from Argentina Horse Adventures. All of the aforementioned activities can be done through his company that you can reach at argentinahorseadventures.com. And he makes a very important clarification about the menu on any of his activities.
You won't have to eat choripan unless you want to.
BA Cast.
Maradona and Perón, Macri and Ricardo Ford, Cristina Kirchner, Ricardo Darín, on the cover of Diario Clarín.
Ballpoint pens, colectivos, are the inventions of Argentinos.
We are humble, we love spice, standing in line is very nice.
We have style, we have grace, plastic surgery on our face.
Falta de internet, cortes de luz,
Buenos Aires, we love you. Mozos with an attitude, telos that put me in the mood. Expect to stand there, they won't get to it. Being punctual, there's nothing to it. Gol. Gol.
B-A-Cast.
B-A-Cast.
chamushamos.
In terms of opening a business, what are the advantages? And I got a little money and I got a little savings and I want to live abroad. And I'm considering Argentina.
Well, the big advantage is that there is opportunity here.
Yeah, because there's so many things done so badly. I mean, customer service for me is the main one. And that applies to any business, whether it's a restaurant or a flexible office space or a hotel, whatever it might be. The concept of customer service, as far as I'm concerned, is 2 decades behind where it is in the States.
That's a generous statement.
So that allows a lot of opportunity. For somebody that's going to start a business and say, you know what, we as a business are going to accept personal responsibility for whatever happens within our four walls. And when an issue, when a problem occurs, we are not going to do the traditional Argentine thing of saying, hubo un inconveniente, which means there was an inconvenience. And to most Argentines, that absolves them of any responsibility for that inconvenience.
Yeah, or se me complicó.
Yeah. Whereas the customer doesn't really give a shit que hubo un inconveniente. The customer says, you know what? I paid you. You solve this for me and make it work. Not tell me about your internal workings or that the secretary didn't put... No, just fix it. Just tell me, hey, sorry, I fucked up. Our business fucked up. We're going to make it right. That concept is...
So that's
an opportunity area.
Is customer
looking
service.
At things a little differently, realizing that the customer has choices, is intelligent, and votes with their pocket. And wanting to create a long-term relationship with the customer, not a transactional situation. Where I see it all the time in Argentina. They try and rip you off as much as possible today. And I think the thinking is this traditional short-term mentality of, oh my God, maybe tomorrow there's a crisis and I can't rip him off because he doesn't have anything anyway. It's understanding that, you know what, I want to make a name for myself. I want to build a brand. I want to build loyal customers that love me and tell everybody else how great I am instead of everybody else how they got ripped off 20 pesos for a bowl of rice.
Well, the great example also, I think, is the Chinos supermarkets. Around where I live, I have maybe 5 choices for tiny Chinos supermarkets, right? And the first one, of course, that I went to was the one that was closest, you know, right around the corner from my house. But they never had monedas. They were always asking for monedas. And I was like, you know what? Maybe those other guys have monedas. So I go 2 blocks farther to the ones who have monedas. No, I never have a problem. I can pay with 100. I can pay with a 50. I don't have to have change. In fact, I get change for my bus rides, and I'm happy. And they never ask me for monedas. Never.
And now, the audio guides of Eternauta's cultural tours.
Modernism arrives to Buenos Aires. The 1920s saw the birth and development of a modern type of architecture. The Swiss architect Le Corbusier, who came to Buenos Aires in 1929, proposed a new model of urbanism, influenced by modern ideas of functionality and rationalism, a timeless architecture, and some formal and technical changes. In the corner of Florida and San Martin streets, we find the paradigm of this change, the Kavanagh Building. Designed in 1933, Corina Kavanagh, a rich 39-year-old heiress, sold 2 of her rural estates in order to erect this monumental apartment building. Her tenants would be families linked to agricultural exports. In the record time of 14 months, the tallest reinforced concrete building in the world was erected. With its 110 meters of height, 105 apartments, and 33 stories, Buenos Aires aimed to resemble New York, which was stunning the world with the Chrysler and Empire State buildings. Location. The Kavanagh Building can be seen from any spot in the Plaza San Martin. Just go there, look around for the most New York-esque building. Tall, concrete-made, and grey. That's the Kavanagh.
For more info on Eternauta's cultural tours of BA,
go to eternautas.com.
Don't say
llave, you know, for key.
Instead, say
chave.
Spanglish Playground.
Second part of expressions with bolas or balls.
Romper las bolas, break the balls.
Uh-huh.
Can also, it means in English
Same. Oh, like, yeah. Messing with me.
Messing with someone.
Making fun of me. Messing with me. Making my life difficult. All those types of things.
Same thing in Argentina. Sure. However, there is a secondary meaning for that. To hang out. To be joking. To do nothing. For example, estábamos rompiendo las bolas, biding our time, just waiting for you to come.
Estábamos rompiendo las bolas. Just busting his balls a little bit.
Exactly.
Just a little bit. Tener las bolas llenas, that's really...
It doesn't exist in English.
My wife says it all the time. Me tenés las bolas llenas.
And it's a contradiction because women, you also use that. And bolas and pelotas means testicles.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But women
and they use
that
all the time. As much as men do.
No, you have my balls full.
BA Cast.
So speaking of bolas, we have a blog, Carlita's Way, with the title Ballsy Buenos Aires.
Of last January.
And she talks about the prevalence of men adjusting, as we would say in English, their balls. And... she seems to think that it happens more often here in Argentina. I totally disagree. Well, at least I haven't noticed. I totally disagree with that. I mean, I haven't noticed more guys shifting or adjusting here than in the States or any other country. She's Canadian, so maybe in Canada they're much more reticent.
I'm going to quote her blog post that I found very funny. Walking down the streets, I see the porteros, or the doormen, leaning against the door frames and shifting and scratching with pleasure while watching all the ladies go by.
And I have to wonder to myself, is that any different than the doormen in any other country? I mean, why would that... I personally have never seen, like... Oh my God! In Argentina, everyone's touching their balls and scratching their balls and watching the ladies go by.
Did any expat woman mention this, or your wife?
Never.
Well, she mentioned this issue to her Argentine friends, and everyone just laughed, especially the men. She says, "I'm pretty sure that for them, the whole conversation is a form of hinchabolas, ball breaker, and certainly serve as a trigger to reach down and give things another tug." And the women? While sympathetic, she says, they seem resigned to the fact that a little tug here and there wouldn't hurt anyone, which we agree with.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of fuss last week due to the US president's announcement that his first visit to South America will include Brazil. He will then fly over Argentina to Chile.
Good. Well, don't want him. Don't need him.
Yeah, actually, my point is that it would surprise me if he would choose Argentina to come and visit. There are several lobbies, I mean, groups in the US like American Task Force Argentina, and they pressure the US not to approach Argentina.
Argentina still refuses to pay back $16 billion it owes to private investors, despite
so what?
A growing economy and $51 billion in currency reserves.
As a G20 partner, Argentina simply functions as a rogue economy.
President Cristina Kirchner hoarded billions of dollars, seized pension funds, and now threatens the free press.
We got to post this to the website. I've never seen a better piece of propaganda in my life. This is excellent.
Well, if
all this is cinematic. Look at this. End of the world.
Because Argentina is not paying the debt.
Argentina doesn't pay the debt. Conclusion, world ends.
Good propaganda.
Yeah, excellent propaganda.
Well, if Obama and his staff saw this, it makes sense that they
think
didn't...
we should move to Uruguay?
Let's go now. However, not everybody in the U.S. shares the opinion of American Task Force Argentina. One example is filmmaker Oliver Stone.
Nestor Kirchner, he was an elder statesman. He was wise, compassionate, but he had steel. He was a gentle lion in his ability to take on
oh my God.
The International Monetary
Fund. He smoked
Fund
like a pound
at a time
of weed
in 2002
today?
When the Argentine economy was... The International Monetary Fund at a time in 2002 when the Argentine economy was considered a mess... black hole from which it would never recover. It did recover. And he defied conventional authority.
Vamos. Vamos, carajo. Well, the fact that he's a stone doesn't mean he's wrong.
What happened to his face, by the way? He used to be like a serious man, and now he's got this must. He looks like Marlon Brando.
Are you?
He's a propagandist.
Well, if you are, well, just like the other guys.
Of course.
The International Monetary Fund, which is American device created in World War to basically control, you know, it's supposed to make loans to help developing countries, but it's been used as a form of economic and political control. as has the war on drugs, you know, and that we've eradicated so much of the agriculture.
Conclusion, we need drugs, we don't need money.
B-A-Cast. 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 The Buenos Aires Podcast.
Next week, the business Chamucho lingers on the battle between chains and small shops in Buenos Aires. Case study, Starbucks, featuring Diva of Bitch Tours and Frank Almeida of Sugar and Spice Cookies.
Chu Sense, the Super Tazón, that amazingly entertaining event for us locals, will be screened at Sugar Bar next
he
Sunday.
He means to say Super Bowl.
At Sugar Bar this, obviously this Sunday at 8:30 Argentine time. That's Costa Rica 4619.
Chao Tune, the best-selling Argentine rock album of all time, is 1992's El Amor Después del Amor by Fito Páez that sold, so far, almost a million copies. That's it? Almost a million copies?
For the Argentine market, that's a lot, man.
I guess that is a lot.
I mean, we are
1/40th of the country.
We are like, no, but at that time, we were like 35 million. The singer-songwriter from Rosario blossomed into a massive gig with this record, a must-have in the genre that features a who's who of Argentine rock stars as guests.
From that CD, this is Dos Días en la Vida, a song entirely inspired by Ridley Scott's 1991 film Thelma and Louise, fantastic film, with Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis.
We say Thelma y Louise. The lyrics are basically a summary of the plot.
Hasta luego.
Chao, che.